The Lock-In Podcast is brought to you by Rotocloud, the all-in-one solution for managing hospitality teams. Rotocloud lets you plan and share rotas, record attendance, and manage your team's annual leave, all in less time than it takes to make a brew. It also makes life easier for your staff, allowing them to check their rotas, request annual leave, and even pick up extra shifts, all through the Rotocloud mobile app. Start your 30-day free trial today by visiting rotocloud.com/lock-in. Hello and welcome to the Lock-In Podcast, the show that lifts a lid on life in the pub drive by those working it. I'm the Morning Advertiser's Ed Beddington, and with me are my two epic co-hosts, James Cuthbertson and Heath Ball. As this is the last episode of the podcast of the year, we'll be giving this one something of a Christmas theme. And James, I'm pleased to see that your dedication to method acting continues throughout the year. You really have committed to the part of Father Christmas, and the lack of padding will probably be quite good with the mild weather we're currently having.
Wow. Pot, kettle, I don't know, something like that, isn't it?
Yes, it is that time of year which James does his bit for the local kids and does the rounds as Santa.
I thought that was going to go somewhere else.
I did consider that, but it's a family show. If only you had, though, a tiny little sidekick, somebody of diminutive stature who could dress up as your elf and go around with you. But
it's like a remake of Bad Santa.
We should have a look. We should can find someone.
I can't see him gritting his teeth on the podcast.
So he's got a fat joke and a height joke.
Yeah, basically. I'm fat and short.
Well, I'm not.
You're taller than me.
Heightest and fattest, but I guess I've just called myself there. So
I'm taller than you, but then most people are, Heath. So it doesn't really say much, does it?
My brother's not either.
Why would he beat me up?
No, he's tiny.
So we've got a great end of year podcast for you coming up with some amazing special guests, including the one and only Eddie Murphy. I'm particularly looking forward to that one, James. A great booking there, although I'm not sure what insight he can offer to us on pub finances, but I'm sure we'll get to that when we get there. So we've also got Brewhouse and Kitchen's Simon Bunn joining us to talk about the ongoing challenges around reservations, how best to handle those, and we'll be looking ahead to January and the typical challenges that we'll pose on the dry front with Club Soda's Laura Willoughby, offering some great advice on tips to maximise the opportunity for those lovely temporary non-drinkers out there.
Holly Willoughby for a minute.
We've got Eddie Murphy and Holly Willoughby.
We're killing it.
Would be possibly the best, unfortunately not James, because I
even Rogan would be jealous. So,
we're on a budget.
Not Wogan.
Mark Wogan.
But before we do all of that, let's catch up on the last week or so's events. Guys, been to any good parties lately?
No, I was at one at 10 something. Yeah. I can't remember, man. It was wild. Wild.
Cheese and wine, I believe.
Yeah. I like wine, so it was good.
I mean, decent week. It's been interesting, hasn't it? So we've had, effectively, since we were last on air, Plan B has launched itself on the world. And I remember when Plan B just used to be a shit singer, so... what are we
showing your age?
For the kids.
I'm sure it is that old, is it? I don't know. It's, I mean, what are the thoughts?
Well, we've had cancellations, haven't we? I mean, we've suffered from that. Everyone suffered from that, but it's actually been broadly okay.
For you, how about you?
Yeah. Oh, it's been lovely.
in terms of, you know, it's not been a mass exodus out of the pub. As much as the government would like to encourage that, which is what they've done it all but saying it, although Boris did say...
I feel like the Venetians, you know, the Venetians complained so much about tourism that when COVID hit, they had no tourists. I complain about people all the time, and then suddenly there's no people to complain about. Yeah. I'm like...
You've lost your purpose in life, haven't you?
I know. I can't complain if there's no one around. But, I think we're as everybody said, like the whole industry is just screaming for help, and... they've done what they've basically stitched us right up. Do you know what I mean?
It's like going back to March, isn't it? March, we've a lot of people have been saying this. March 2020, don't go to the pub and all that. It's sort of shut down by stealth, isn't it? The lockdown by stealth.
But they haven't. They've ruled out furlough. Rishi's in California.
Is he?
Yeah, I believe so. It was on the radio today. He's on holiday, sunbathing.
No big issues that he should be here dealing with, is he?
But then, do you know what I mean? Like, what are we looking at? And they said they've ruled out furlough, but they'll look at loans again. So we're just going to take on more debt to get through a really shit December. We might have a bumper January, but we're still not in any shape.
If we're allowed to open.
if we're allowed to open, but what sort of shape we're going to be at the end of this. It's like we're just getting, you know, I don't, we have, and I've said it before, we have real no voice. We've got no sway with government. We've got trade bodies who just don't get anything done. So where are we going to be? We need help.
It's interesting because at the same time you've got the issues with rating that's not going away. You know, that's not getting dealt with because it's all concentrating on this, rightly so, survival. Yeah. But, you know, there's some big issues there. Could
well,
be
I mean, the whole push on VAT, I mean, that could, in some respects, it might help that argument of keeping it where it is as a method of support. And I'm sure we'll be talking about this later with Emmy. But the it's... Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's a total distraction to getting some of the longer-term reforms that we need. But then, I mean, they've already pretty much kicked business rates into the long grass.
I think we just don't pay them. I think we all get together and we say we're not paying business rates. What are you going to do?
He's going to be manning the barricades.
Yeah, but honestly, what are they going to do? If the whole sector says, we're not paying business rates. I've said it before. We don't pay business rates until you give us reform. Then what are they going to do? Mm. What, they're going to send bailiffs around to every pub in the country? They will, but what are they going to do? Really? You know, it's just, we need change, you know? I don't mind spending 30 years in prison. Get me out of the house.
You're that desperate to get away from your wife.
She's around, so be quiet.
We are in the red line. We have to be careful.
Yeah, she'll sneak in somewhere.
She's
like a green beret when she comes in.
Prisoner and that's pricks and two threes, really, isn't it?
I mean,
the sex might be better in prison. Oh my god! Sorry, Ed.
Did just say that, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's good. Excellent. I'll have to edit that bit out, maybe. Maybe I'll just leave it in.
It's Christmas.
Yeah, why not? Special treat for everyone. COVID passports come into play. I mean, what's the thoughts on that?
We'll be made to be thankful for them.
That's what they're doing,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You've stayed open, yeah. But you know what I mean? The only way you can stay open is you have a COVID passport. And it's going to come down to us. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing. We need a common sense minister, someone who sits there and goes, guys, this is stupid.
I mean, it's brilliant. I do love the fact that one minister still said, this is how we contain Omicron. We have COVID passports. You know, it's worked a fucking treat in Scotland, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, at least I'm not going to Edinburgh on Saturday morning.
Are you going to play golf? Really?
No, just
that. It's going clubbing.
A lot worse than that. It was the kid.
What?
The wife and kid in Edinburgh.
Why are you taking them up there?
No, she booked ages ago.
What for?
Sorry.
She's been to Scotland before. It's boring.
The weather's lovely.
Is it open? Have you checked it's open?
I don't know. I was trying to do one of those fake news things to say no travel to Scotland. But, yeah.
Oh, you're going to go and play golf. I know what you're up to. I know your game. You'll be off at St Andrews or something.
Not this time.
They'll be out clubbing and they'll be.
Why would you go to Scotland?
I didn't.
They've got more restrictions than us.
I think Scotland's actually quite a nice place to visit. Generally, it's. I mean,
I've been before a couple of times. Families from there. My grandmother's from Glasgow.
You've got to be banned from Scotland. You're banned from most places.
Greece.
Asked to leave. Greece. Different thing.
Okay, sorry.
Where were we?
Where were we? Yeah, before we.
Yeah, COVID passports. But let's be honest, it's a joke. It's a joke. You know, you can download the scanner that can check people's apps now. They're ready to go. I've got the app now. I went down the rabbit hole looking at what the government's bringing in. The NHS COVID Pass Verify. Anybody can download it on the App Store. I can go over there and scan your passport status. You're not linking it to a venue. It doesn't feel like there's any data protection, but you wonder what's going on behind the scenes of the app. So it's, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but like, it's just, well, no. As we sit in my Faraday cage and the red light,
it's a tinfoil hat.
It's fashion, Edward. Yeah, fashion.
Sorry. My mistake. I mean, the other thing as well that I know a lot of operators have been talking about is the change in the ruling. So if you are with somebody who's got it previously, you could carry on with your business as normal.
Now you've got to isolate. Got what?
Got COVID.
Oh,
No, we're not even going to go there.
Half a pint of Guinness, isn't it?
I know. He did have one before as well, so we need to be careful. But you've got to isolate. So you've got staff now that, you know, if a member of their household has it, that wipes them out. So that's going to be a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, imagine how are you running it. Okay, the only upside, the government's got rid of the need for having staff because there's no one going to pubs. So, yeah. Do you know what I mean? You could have half your staff gone. Oh, you're okay. Here's your sick pay. Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Oh, that's nice of you to have a silver lining for once.
Well, I think the government's the government's actually solved our staffing crisis. Yeah. They've told people not to go to the pubs. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, well, yeah, positivity at once. The other thing as well, actually, I don't know whether you guys noticed it, but we saw something, I think you sent this to me, people talking about trade just dropping off in the evening. So post 9 o'clock, it's just absolutely dying off. And some people were speculating, you know, has that 10 p.m. curfew kind of caused a real sort of cultural shift?
I think people are starting earlier. I think, you know what I mean? Like, I've always been a big fan of long lunches, because you can be home by 10 and have a sleep. But going out late at night, I think it's such a ball ache. You need COVID passports now, especially more now, to go to a nightclub. It seems like a lot of effort, and the Ubers are more expensive, and travel, and everything just seems, and the night trade tubes working? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It just seems like people are going out earlier, we're going to house parties, and I think, trade drops off. We have it here. Like, it's gone quiet. Early dinners, people are booking 5 o'clock for dinner.
Yeah.
So the age of the late license is over.
Well, you don't want a late license because you're paying all the extra fees. Mm. Do you know what I mean? If you're trading past whatever time, you've got the late night levy and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no advantage to being a late night venue. All you've got is more headache.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's where the site takes the most stress, isn't it? That last bit of the night, typically. In most pubs, so yeah, good stuff.
Well, we're out of time. Let's leave that one there. I'm sure we'll be picking up on some of these as we go. You're listening to the Lock In podcast, and we're taking a look at the challenges facing us in the last remaining days up to Christmas. Cancellations are ongoing, and operators are watching their reservations disappear up in smoke. We've got Simon Bunn from Brewhouse and Kitchen joining us to discuss some of these issues. So thanks very much for joining us, Simon.
My pleasure.
So, I mean, let's just sort of talk generally. What should operators be doing at the moment? I know we're right up to the wire on Christmas, and it's probably far too late in the day to be talking about this, as Heath was telling me earlier, really, really nicely just before we started recording this podcast. Thanks, Heath.
Sorry.
We didn't talk about this last week at all, did we? But we've obviously got that period between Christmas and New Year as well, where people will have deferred parties. I know I'm supposed to be going out with my family between the two. So, I mean, Simon, what are your thoughts? I mean, how should people be looking at reservations at the moment? We're seeing so many just being cancelled. What's your view? What's your policy?
Well, I guess, like us, most people have some form of reservation system. And one of the things that we've been doing is adjusting the rule. So it allows more auto-confirmed bookings, which we will take off during the December period. What we're seeing is, if we looked at our situation from Sunday morning up until 11 o'clock today, we've had 1,400 different bookings in, which account to about 7,000 covers. We've had 1,000 of those that have cancelled during the course of the week, whether they were booked prior to that or whatever, but the balance is we're 6,000 up.
Right.
So we've got a cancellation rate of about 13.4%. But we are seeing...
That's not about... That's exactly.
I'm glad
I wish the government gave us so much detail.
Sorry, carry on.
Well, we're seeing a lot of the larger corporate bookings be cancelled. But what's actually happening with those is people like the NHS that have booked with us, they've been told that they can't go out. And... I know you guys have discussed Sainsbury's before as well, so they've also been telling their team to take off. So we're seeing them cancelled, but mainly deferred. So we're deferring a lot of January. So we're looking at January and thinking, actually, we could have quite a good January this year. And days like the key days, like Christmas Day and New Year's Eve, are up on 2019 numbers. So, I think there's definitely some things to look at for the positives. And between Christmas, as soon as Christmas Day's out of the way, I think everyone's going to say, "God, did come down the pub," because I don't have to isolate for granny or any of that anymore. I think we're going to have a really good period. We're actually down on bookings during that period, but a lot of those bookings will come in late and on the day. So I'm really not concerned about it. I think we're going to pull things around. It's not brilliant as a Christmas, but you know what? It could be a lot worse.
It could be last year, for example.
Exactly.
I mean, guys, do you two think the same? I mean, we were talking about this at Heathland. We were talking about this earlier. James and you were stuck in traffic. But the do you think they are going to actually, as soon as Christmas is done, just go, actually, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go out. Auntie Mabel
is fine. You don't think so? Well, I think we'll be in measures in January. So no, I don't think it'll be in our hands.
What, you think they're going to lock us down in January?
I think it'll be met. If you look at the tracking on this Omicron, it's unbelievable.
But look at South Africa. They're saying, what are you guys worried about?
Yeah.
They're laughing at us. Yeah. They've gone on panic mode.
I think we're going to look into sort of, you know, what people should be thinking about with lockdown shortly. Because, yeah. I mean, we have to consider it. We've got to sort of have a plan A, and a plan B, and a plan C.
Yeah,
but if we don't get locked down, don't you think actually, potentially, we might have the best January we've had in ages?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I mean, mm-hmm. I wonder whether people are, you know, that kind of health conscious kick in January.
Well, I was speaking to my mate who owns a chain of gyms, and he said if we're locked down in January, he's going to lose his business. Yeah. That's where he's going to make his money.
Yeah,
he's counting
on
January.
Yeah.
But if we all turn around and start hitting the pubs and forget the gyms, he's going to have the worst January ever.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to see that health kick, though? I mean, because if people haven't been, they've been quite restrained in the run-up to Christmas, they haven't been going out. I mean, of course, they could just be absolutely smashing it at home every night, which is a possibility. Then we may see a bit more indulgence. I mean, what do you think, sir? Are you thinking that January may be turned on its head this year?
Sure. I think we could have a very positive time. I don't think Omicron is that... I mean, virulent, yes, but it's not doing too much damage. The hospital rate was up 10%. You know, that square root of nothing. That's like saying, you know, I took a pound last week and I'm 100% up this week. So I think January is going to be good. I think March is going to be probably the best one we've had in 3 years.
What, the best? March is going to be great.
March is going to be great because we haven't had we've not been open for the previous 2 years.
It's a fair point. If you've got a benchmark against that, then it's going to be awesome.
Brilliant.
True. I mean, with the reservations that are being cancelled, the corporate ones, are you pushing them through to January rather than simply cancelling? Are you encouraging them to rebook down the line?
Well, if they cancel within 7 days, we're saying we'll take 50% of the deposit off and we'll defer the 50% within 3 months of that booking. So we're trying to get everyone in January, February, March and give them enough time to come back in and book. So we're trying to be flexible. We have had a little bit of kickback, but not a lot. When we point out the £5 deposit, we're taking £2.50 per person. We've got our schedules done. We've got food that we've agreed to purchase.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are costs associated to their cancellation. People actually have been really good. And a lot of our guests have been saying, I'm really sorry that we've got to cancel. But that's what our company is telling us. So, you know, I just think it's a bit like the holidays this year. Holidays were booked very late. I think tables are going to go very late. I really feel more for the if you're full on dining, then I really feel for you. You know, we're lucky that we've got that drinking element. Part to our business, so we might in the pub business we're a lot more flexible than you are in the restaurant business. So,
true. I mean, it's nice to have somebody who's a little bit more optimistic on the podcast for a change. I'm not looking at you, Heath, at all. I mean, deposits. You've touched on deposits, so you're taking deposits. Heath, are you taking deposits?
I didn't take deposits.
You didn't take deposits.
No,
do you regret that now?
No, not at all, because I didn't want to get involved. Like the Red Lion's quite small, and the other pubs, we just thought. You take deposits, who knows where we're going to be? And then you've got to get the money back, and then you're dealing with all that. And I just, you know, I mean, I just thought I'd rather just fly by the seat of my pants and see what happens. And I think, you know, I think it's worked out all right for us. But, yeah, I just couldn't bother with the stress.
Well, not the scale. We have someone that you can dedicate to spending days.
We don't have a reservation team.
Managing it, you know.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that you need, I guess. I mean,
it's a different skill set.
You're looking after that very directly, and I guess it probably is quite resource hungry.
Surprisingly not, to be fair. We've got a system that really works for us. We've got 3 or 4 people that work full-time for us on it. So...
Just for clarity, that's more than us.
You haven't got three or four people that work full time for you with
it. Three or four waitresses right now.
Look, it is manned 7 days a week, so
yeah. It's a different scale, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you are on a different scale, and I guess that's it. But I mean, could you not automate some of this? Is that
well, we haven't attacked Christmas in like we would have done normally. We've just got small groups, so 6, 8 max. So therefore, if we lose a cancellation, we only lose one table, you know, or two tables. We don't lose the whole place and have to refill it. So to be honest, we just treat them like normal reservations. We've got the normal menu just with Christmas touch on it. So we've not run with set menus. Yeah. We've not run with just, and people have been great with it. Really great with it. Yeah. So we've run just a festive menu for December. You don't have to pre-order and what have you. So again, it's just about flexibility and not knowing what's going to come next.
And in terms, I guess, if you're going to do deposits, you've got to have pretty clear terms and conditions, Simon, so that's something that you need to be aware of, I guess.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've learned from that as well this year, to be fair. We've tightened up our terms and conditions, changed them on the website as well. So, you know, when our guests look into it, they have a feeling of comfort that we do what we say we're going to do.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I was chatting to your CEO, Chris, about our reservation and how you were sort of really getting your GMs on top of it. They weren't just sitting back and being passive and expecting people to walk in. And tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think since the lockdown, reservations become much bigger thing. So people are more, you had to use an app to order, and now you've had to make reservations to go to a pub and all of this sort of thing. But there's a lot of barriers that were broken down. So our pre-book business is much bigger than it ever was before, and it probably accounts, generally speaking, for at least 40% of our total business in any one week. So, you know, all of our GMs have got stations for bookings, which is unlike most pubs. So they've got access on the floor to their booking system. They're backed up by the four team that we've got in the sales and reservations office, so which is based in Nottingham. So it's not anywhere near London or Bournemouth, where our other hubs and centres are. We inherited a great team up there from business purchase, and we decided to run with that, and it's been very successful for us.
Fantastic. Okay, well, I appreciate we're pretty much out of time, but Simon, thank you very much for that, and hopefully fingers crossed your optimism proves true and we have a much better Christmas and an absolutely superb January. So good luck with it.
Yeah.
Cheers,
thank
Simon.
You thank you
cheers thank good you luck, This is the Lock-In Podcast, and we're looking ahead to the new year, and specifically January. Normally the most miserable month of the year, pubs have an equally challenging time of it with the push for dry January. But does that really need to be the case? Can't operators find a way to tempt those dry drinkers back with a non-alcoholic offer? We've got the amazing Laura Willoughby joining us from Club Soda to give us some great thoughts on how Heath and James can do a better job, and some of our other listeners, all three of them. So thank you for joining us, Laura.
Thank you for having us.
No worries. So, I mean, let's just start. I mean, how do we think that the current situation in the market, what's happening with everything going on, how do we think that's going to impact on dry January? Do you think it's going to derail that sort of move towards a healthier month, or do you think it's going to actually sort of support it?
Well, I think definitely people's concerns about their health have gone up people's agenda since lockdown anyway. And so the growth of low and no is still very buoyant. Yeah. People are buying and people are really interested and curious. What will really upset me, though, is if it means that people can't enjoy that experience in a pub or bar, because, you know, you're not doing dry January properly if you stay at home, right? That's my view. You need to be able to go to your local, try something different, and know that there's something you can drink in your local all year round, that if you're having a Monday or Tuesday off drinking, that there's still something there for you and you don't have to avoid the pub.
I mean, guys, do you, I mean...
Yeah, I think that spot on, because we don't want them avoiding the pub.
Yeah.
But the problem is, so many people go dry January and eat healthy and they stay at home. They hide for the whole month. We need them to be in the pubs. We need them to come out. Yeah. And we need to give them the options of having drinks they can drink and eat healthy in the pub, because we need the business. We can't go into... If we open in January and everybody goes, oh, I'm on an alcohol-free kick and all that, and we're empty, it's not going to help us. You know
so
what I mean?
To facilitate...
I mean,
go on, Laura.
I mean, there is a slight issue that actually generally people have reined in their spending in January, and doing a dry January has given them cover for the fact that basically they don't want to go out and spend anything during a miserable month.
So
it's always been a poor month in the hospitality industry anyway for sales. But if you add on to that the fact that people think that they, in order to do a dry January, you need to avoid the pub rather than embrace it, then that doesn't help either. But I think there's so much curiosity around alcohol free drinks that there are things that pubs can do to increase the footfall.
I mean, so based on what you were saying then, Heath, I mean, what measures have you put in place to create a dry January offer with a broad range of alcohol free options?
I realise, you know, even though I'm a publican and I like alcohol and I like having fun, I've always realised I'm a businessman as well and I need to make money. So, you know, we have a range of kombuchas, we try all those different drinks, we've got nice sodas, and you need to have a range, you need to have options. So it's not like you walk in and go, oh, what have you got to drink that's non-alcoholic? And we go, water.
So
do you know what I mean?
So in summary, you've done nothing.
I have. I carry a range of stuff.
Every day, though, isn't it?
No, he has. He's definitely got choices and options that suit your venue as well. And I think that's the important thing, that people don't... You don't have to find just any old drink. You can find drinks that you think represent your brand as a venue. And there's enough out there to do that with now. And even if you get on, you know, special, you get on a Lucky Saint or a Big Drop on Draft for January, or you decide to get in a range of spirits and run everybody's asking us about cocktail classes in January in the shop. We're doing cocktail classes, beer tastings and wine occasion classes that are selling like hotcakes, you know. So you could get extra in January and really focus some events that help people explore the category and help you see what your customers like so that you can get it in the rest of the year round. So, you know, see that as an opportunity to experiment but also get some interesting data from your customers.
I think it's better now though, because at least the beer and the options are good, because they were shocking back in the day, weren't they? When it first came out, the beer was like washing up.
Lucky Saint from BrewDog, honestly.
That's not Lucky Saint from BrewDog.
No, who is it? It's different. No. It's,
what's the one? What's the BrewDog one? Nanny State.
Nanny State.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Lucky
State's
terrible. Nanny State's terrible.
We've now got, is it Big Drop Brewing? They do a selection, don't they? They do a Carolina PA, they'll do a Stout, Galactic Stout, and they're really good. I mean, say really good, I'd rather drink the real thing, but that's but you can offer it. And now if you look at the pubs, we've got pretty cool offerings, say kombuchas, you're putting up Virgin Marys you're making every day and things like that. You know, it's that sort of, so people don't need to feel excluded anymore.
It's about increasing the spend of your customers when they come in. If you serve them a Coke from a hose, they'll only manage about one. If you say, well, actually, I've got an alcohol-free beer here that you can drink all evening, or there's a range that you can have different ones of, then, you know, I still go to the pub as much as I did when I was drinking, but now, and I've got
You don't drink alcohol?
No. I still spend as much as people who are drinking in my group.
Not in kebabs, you don't.
Yeah, I do. I will drink, you know, I spend, you know, £5 on an alcohol-free beer. I spend quite a lot of money on a really good kombucha. I'll drink them all through the evening and I'll have a dessert, which I never had when I was drinking. And I bring drinkers with me. So if you've got a good range, I'm also more likely to come and fill your pub up at lunchtime. And of course, we shouldn't forget that everybody's a mindful drinker at some point in the day, right? It may be that they want
in the morning. It's like 9:03 a.m.
I'm looking at these two thinking, no, they're not. But
okay.
No, you're right.
Yeah, we're not a good example.
You know, it's about a quality of experience, really.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I want as good an experience your pub as you're clearly having every day. And I reckon I can have that if you've got a good range of alcohol.
There's nothing,
drinks,
I know, I agree
I'll
with
rave
you.
Rave about your pub afterwards. Well, that's not true.
There's nothing worse.
You wouldn't even know I wasn't drinking. That's the sad thing.
Table 9, she's had way too much. No, she's on the green tea.
You would absolutely think I'd had way too much.
I mean,
you're right on. I think we maybe need to put a bit more thought into in the same way you would to all your drink offer.
You create an offer, don't you?
And yeah, I mean making the offer right for your business. So depending on your style of operation, then you've got to match that to your customer base. And I think that's brilliant, a great idea, Laura, to sort of say, you know, use that dry January as a time to experiment and to try different things.
It's really interesting, but it's also things like, for example, the Virgin Mary bar in Dublin has a different menu at lunchtime for drinks and evening. Now we do that with food. Why don't you do that with your drinks as well, so that you encourage people and upsell them to a really good alcohol-free offer that would tempt them back time and time again if they're coming in, for example, during a weekday during a lunchtime. Also, their mood-enhancing cocktails outstrip their alcohol-free cocktails. You know, 3-1.
What's the
mood? And then that's because people are really they've got alcohol-free spirits that have got functional ingredients in them. So things like three spirits or function beer, which have got aptogenics in it and herbs in it.
MDMA.
I mean, I absolutely love the three spirits livener for getting the party started, and I was drinking the nightcap all the way through lockdown. So you're creating an offer that elevates everybody's experience, and people are willing to pay for that because they want to feel like they're part of the crowd, that they're still important in your
party. Yeah, I suppose they've got cash, haven't they? Because I know when I drink alcohol, when I drink quite a bit of alcohol, but I go out and I spend a lot of money
on Betfair.
Well, yeah, no, on wine. But I do. I go out and I'll spend a lot of money on wine. I suppose if I wasn't drinking, I wouldn't be sitting here with you guys. I'd be in the Bahamas.
Yeah, true.
I'd be on holiday every day. Because why spend so much money on alcohol?
I do have to say that my after I gave up drinking, the local corner store
closed down.
Ran up the road after me one day because he thought I'd moved.
He's like, what's going on? I can't put my kids through private school.
Where are you? Are you okay? Have you been ill? No, I've just given up drinking.
Poor guy's like, just his face just dropping.
Yeah. But
it was just like that.
I think one of the problems I see in it is that, yes, we want a better offer, but also the prices need to be cheaper to buy in.
What do you mean?
Because they don't attract duty.
Oh, shut up.
No, they're expensive.
Yeah, but that's relative, James. What do you...
No, I just think they're expensive to buy in, my point.
What are you on a budget?
No, but it doesn't
attract duty. Just give it to the customer.
If you look at a pint of, or a half of, like beer on the bar, and a Lucky Saint or one of those,
yeah,
you know, there's a massive amount of that real beer.
It's the cost of production, though, isn't it?
Hey, well, look, let me tell you this. If you don't have confidence in your product, then you can't sell it. But if you do, then the price point isn't the issue, particularly in
a bar. It's you, James.
And I'm the issue. It's
you. People are paying, they pay for an equality of experience. They know what they're saving, like your Bahamas fund. They know what they're saving on the other end. And they want a premium experience. They don't want to be treated like a bit of a dick. They want to be treated, you know, I don't want a half a pint of Coke squeezed out of a hose as if I'm 11 and about to go and wait for my dad in the car park. I will spend my money with you and I will be loyal. Mm. It's worth saying, you know, that it does cost more to make an alcohol-free drink. You know, alcohol is a free byproduct of all the processes that those drinks go through.
It's you should
not
know this, James.
An added ingredient.
As a brewer, yeah.
So to get a really good tasting drink, it costs a bit more. Mm. And yes, some people will moan, but you know what? We're doing a roaring trade here in the shop. People are spending 50, 60 quid on three bottles of spirits, and they're taking them home because they want something nice to drink. They want something special at Christmas. They want something that feels like a reward. And pub is all of those things. Pubs are special places. They are places where we reward ourselves. Mm. They're places where we want to socialise and feel part of the gang.
Can you
and
say all this to Boris? Can you say
this
to Boris Johnson and the rest of the cabinet? Because they seem to have forgotten that.
I mean,
that's a whole other podcast. And and as Ed knows, I've got a politics background. I'm probably best kept out of that discussion.
I mean, the great thing, you guys have opened up a pop-up off-license, alcohol-free off-license. And that's doing very well at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, so we've opened this week, lots of people coming through the door, but also lots of trade coming through the door. Even when we were setting up, three pubs from around here knocked on the door to ask if they could come in. Mm. So everybody listening needs to know that they're welcome to come to the shop.
Where are you?
Our team will... We're on Great Portland Street next to Oxford Street
Circus. Oh, really?
So you can go to joinclubsoda.com and find all the details on our website. We've got a special bit on there for trade. And you can come in, visit. We'll take your team around the products. More importantly, we're also running masterclasses on the wine occasion, beer and cocktails. That Emma Inch is running the beer sessions. They're invitation only. If you want an invite, there's a way that you can ask for that on the website as well. We want to give everybody the right information so that you can decide what products are right for you in your venue.
And how long's the pop-up for?
And we've launched our online training for venues. So if you want to put your staff and your managers through some basic training on why low and no, what customers are looking for, what questions they ask, and how to upsell, we've now got that available as well.
Fantastic. Cool. And to answer your question, end of January.
End of January. Okay, yeah, wicked.
So, well, right. Sorry, I missed that.
So we're almost out of time, Laura. But just to we've seen great strides on beer recently, haven't we? With developments in draft from some of the big brewers.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more and more beer on draft. So beer's doing quite well. I mean, out of all the various sort of streams, beer, wine, spirits, where do you see most of the growth coming at the moment?
It's interesting. Alcohol-free wine is still the most searchable term online, but
really?
One where people are still not getting the right results.
Yeah.
But there's some really good products coming through, like Thompson Scott's Naughty and Oddbird, I think are really mixing that up a bit.
Mm.
We've got a full wine section here from top to bottom, which I wasn't expecting that we would reach.
So what's your most
that's really good.
What's your most popular non-alcoholic wine?
The Naughty sparkling Chardonnay has been flying off the shelves, definitely. The Liars Classico has just come in, and that's really popular as well. So I think we're beginning to see that market's beginning to shift right now. The alcohol-free spirits go really well. There's lots of them. But we're beginning to see, you know, people being really interested in drinks that have got functional ingredients in, like the free spirits and function beer. And the pre-canned cocktails, people are loading up on those to take away with them for Christmas. So the D&Ts in a can and things like Savile's and the Square Root gin and tonic and so on.
Amazing. You know what? I think we've talked ourselves into doing a alcohol-free wine tasting with Heath in the new year.
Can you imagine the moaning?
I
like to call it the wine occasion, because there are things that fit into.
Well, we could come and do the podcast down there. We could do the thing podcast, and we could sit around and get sober.
me and Christine Parkinson are running those masterclasses, and we also have our alcohol-free wine club is now really popular. So,
brilliant.
You know, there's things to share with you. I have wisdom.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, I would urge every listener, all three of them, to go and look at the Club Soda website. I will make sure we've got those on our website so you can click onto that. But Laura, thank you very much for that.
Thanks, Laura. Cheers, Laura.
Cheers. You're listening to the Lock In podcast with myself, Ed Bennington, Heath Ball, and James Cuthbertson. Now, traditionally, Christmas is the chance to build up some reserves. Consumers are out celebrating, splashing the cash, and operators are able to put plenty aside for the leaner months in the new year. But this year has been something of a disaster. While we've had a little more trade than this time last year, the various government moves and announcements from health experts has held the trade under the water. So when it comes to the financial challenges we're now set to face, what should operators be thinking about it? Joining us to discuss this, I'm delighted to say we've got a fantastic special guest, Eddie Murphy, all the way from James. You told me you'd booked Eddie Murphy.
Such a bad joke.
I mean, did you check?
So he was coming from America.
One job. No, America Avenue.
Oh, right.
Anyway, I'm only kidding. Eddie, thank you very much for joining us. I bet you've never had that joke before.
You're very welcome. I haven't heard that since about 11:30 this morning.
No, good. Excellent. Always, always good. So, Eddie, you are from Precision Licensed Services. You're going to give us a bit of a financial steer about what's going on. Tell us a little bit about yourself first, Eddie.
Okay, so I actually joined the business in the late 70s and went to help my brother look after his pub while he went away for a couple of weeks around about 1978, and I'm still in the business. So that plan didn't work out too well. I started out in managed houses with Courages, went through about 92, started my own auditing firm. around about 2003-2004, I got involved with the administration with some of the big accountants, primarily Grant Thornton, and got appointed to run some groups of hotels and pubs. I then met up with what is now my current business partner, who was the licensed trade consultant for Grant Thornton. So we started looking after these administrations. Once we'd that had sort of come to an end, around about 2008-2009, we founded PLS Management, which is a licensees specialist accountancy firm. Nothing very spectacular, just that I always wanted to find the kind of service that we're providing to clients, and never could. So we're very, very focused. Don't do accounts for hairdressers, don't do accounts for garages.
It's just the same with Heath and James, aren't they?
So. You're looking at us.
Yeah. Gyms.
Gyms, yeah. Yeah, I go to the gym.
Hairdressers, gyms. Yeah, no. Brilliant, thanks, Alex. So, I mean, let's just talk about the current situation. I mean, we could all kick in on this. You know, how do we think trade is going? How much is it going to be down over Christmas? What sort of sense are you getting from what you're saying?
Well, for us, it is extremely worrying. There's no question about it. And it's the over 50s primarily, who are still very, very nervous. And of course, you never see a headline saying nobody's got COVID in the town today. So every time the headlines come out, they decide to stay in for another week. And that's where the danger is. And this is the real, where the backbone of a lot of the Christmas trade is, the family trade. Now, if granny and granddad are nervous about going to the pub, then the rest of the family, in all probability, are not going to go to the pub. So that's where the challenges are for me. That's where I feel the challenges are coming from. And that's the feedback we're getting from clients.
And you to Joan Teeth, I mean, what are you sort of forecasting, expecting from Christmas? How much up or down?
30% down, maybe?
Yeah, 30%.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're so lucky if we break it. Like, I don't know, man. Like,
it's normally your time to save up and hold your breath and jam, but I don't think it's going to be that this year.
Yeah, how do we do that? Like, yeah. What are they're talking no furlough. So how are we actually talking about what this actually looks like? It's scary.
Yeah, I mean, we're struggling with sort of the lack of comment from government on, you know, support until restrictions come in is the big issue. So, I mean, and one of the reasons I want to talk to you, Eddie, is kind of, you know, what can operators be doing? What should they be thinking about? What are the banana skins and the easy wins that they can be thinking about?
Well, look, it's easy for me to say, but what you need to be doing is using your time wisely. What's easy to do is just sit there and look miserable and think none of this is ever going to work and everything we do is all going pear-shaped. I don't necessarily concur with that. I think we've got a bit of an opportunity now. If we are going to be 25-30% down in turnover, use 25%, 30% of your time to try and budget a little bit for January, February, March. It's not in anyone's interest that you go out of business. It's not in your landlord's interest. It's not in the pubco's interest. Not in anyone's interest. So try and focus on where you're going to be. Have a look at what debts you've currently got. When you've had a look at those debts and start looking at the repayment schedules, try and build that bit in. Work with your accountant. If you have got a proper accountant, work with them. Sit down with them and say, look, this is what I'm going to be making repayments for, and this is how I'm going to be making the repayments, or I'm going to try. Now, if your accountant says, look, you're not going to be able to do that, and certainly with your current turnover, then you need to talk to your landlords, you need to talk to the banks, you need to talk to HMRC. The one thing you can't do is sit there and gaze at your navel. For goodness sake, just take a bit of initiative and sit up and say, right, let's just see where we're going to be at the end of March and try and take control of that.
And it is very easy to just bury your head in the sand with these things, isn't it? But if you're going to start having those conversations, at least then you're going to start looking for solutions.
I think it's
you?
Too easy for a lot of operators, and I say a lot of people, all of us included, to sit there and go, woe me, the world's coming to an end, we're screwed, oh my God, we're all in the same boat. And we're not all in the same boat. I think, you know, I mean, I'm doom and gloom all the time, but man, there's no, excuse my French, no fucking way I'm going to let Boris and his mates take me down. Like any of my businesses. So I'll fight to the bitter end, you know, to keep my team employed, to keep all my suppliers paid. There's no way. Do you know what I mean? Because we know they don't care about us. So like you said, Eddie, you've got to make sure you know what you're up for, what you can pay, And, you know, it's just been sensible and being, you know, and being proactive. Otherwise, I could go to the pub down the road and sit there for 2 days and cry about it, but that won't change anything.
You know? Generally sit in that pub and cry most of the time, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but that's because of the photos you send me.
I thought it was the jokes.
Oh, sorry.
So, I mean, what practical things can, other than thinking about looking at, where are there going to be any wins? I mean, we're talking about potentially loans coming down. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Where can people access support?
Well, just to address the sort of ghost in the room at the moment, which is the bounce back loans, which are now coming back for repayment. There are options with bounce back loans, and it staggers me that people don't take any time at all to examine these options or try and test for them. So there are three different, usually, and bear in mind all these are administered by banks, they're not administered by Boris, you've got individual banks administering these. So what you need to look at, there are three different types you can go for, and one is to suspend payments for 6 months. That should be an option that's still open to people. Mm-hmm. There's interest only for 6 months, which greatly reduces
your outcome. God, that's only 2%, isn't it?
Yeah, but it still greatly reduces the outcome.
Yeah, no, but it's still, you're only paying 2%.
You are, but I'm talking about interest only on the actual repayment. So instead of your repayments being £800, your repayments are £110.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're only paying the 2% on the...
Yeah. When you've got the interest only. Yeah. Normal repayments. Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Paying your £800 or whatever. So if that's a way of getting you through these very dark months that we've got to come, that may be an option to consider. And the third one, and for me, again, quite a pragmatic one, is extending the loan out but over 10 years. Now, if you are minded to be in the business in 10 years' time, and it's difficult, I know, but if you are, then I feel that's a good option because it spreads. The interest rate is very good, and it spreads the repayments. You don't actually, in net terms, pay an awful lot more for it, but it does take that pressure off.
Do you think they're going to give us the option to top up the bounce back loan?
At the moment, that's not available.
But do you think that's where the...
My personal feelings are, if the banks see this money getting repaid, and even with the interest rate rise today, they've said is going to come into place, if they start seeing these loans get repaid, then they'll be inclined to top them up. It's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, money is their beer. You know, it's what they do. They sell money. So if they see...
Because the government's talking about that, aren't they? They're sort of saying, we don't want to do furlough. It's easier for us to lend. And you know what I mean? So... But we're all taking on more debt.
Yeah, I think there are the danger areas there is it is easy for us to borrow as much as it is easy for them to lend.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's too easy. And the other thing that I get whispered at every now and then is, oh, well, I'll just change, I'll go bankrupt or whatever. None of these options are easy.
Yeah.
None of these options are easy. The guy sitting in the pub who's had his four pints of Foster's will tell you how easy it is. It's not, trust me. Talk to your accountant.
You've met James.
Find out what the consequences are before you take any action like that. You really need to have a good look and preferably talk to a professional, talk to your accountant.
The three options you mentioned there around the loans, are they duty bound to offer those, the banks? Or
yes,
they are.
They should be offering those. So if you go to your local bank or whoever's administered your loan and they don't offer those, ask them why. Ask them why. And it may well be that they would rather not, but truth to tell, most of them probably will rather do it because don't forget the loans are underwritten anyway.
Yeah.
If you default on your loan, they're going to get paid by the government. But I don't think, and we heard a little rumours of this 3 or 4 months ago, the government are not just going to sit back and pay out billions of pounds. They are just not going to do that. They're going to make it very hard for the banks to get the money back.
Yeah.
And if we're making it hard for the banks, you're bloody sure the banks will make it hard on you as well.
Because there was that feeling, wasn't there, that people would take these loans, fold the business down, and then Phoenix it.
People have been doing that, though.
Yeah. And I wonder whether that will temper, it'd be nice to know what those numbers are, it would temper any further offering. But what you were talking about was a case-by-case assessment, wasn't it?
Yes.
So we've borrowed, say, 100 grand and we've started to pay back, but they might look at maybe get a 150. Okay.
Yeah, and also what we're focused on and what I've been asked to focus on today is the next quarter, the next 3 months, January, February, March.
Yeah.
And if some of those options may, of course, just ease that put that time, ease the money pressure in that time.
So, I mean, the other problem is rent. We've got rent debt coming in. We've got the situation where, you know, as you said, you need to be speaking to your landlords and things like that. Interestingly, Shep and Neem, Shep's have been the first to come out with a discount in January. So they're offering a 10% discount to their tenants.
Are they?
How much?
10%. So they'll be taking 9% rent. So
Okay.
I mean that's ahead of any restrictions. Obviously, if any restrictions come in, I'm sure they'll look at it again. But that's
it's a step in the right direction.
Regardless, they've already made that decision. So from January, it'll be 10%.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you advise operators to be thinking
about? Again, I'm a big fan of the BII. I would make sure you, if you haven't got, it's the best 155 quid you'll ever spend. And I tell this to every one of our clients. Get involved with them. Get on their website and have a look on there. And take advice, and if you don't see what you want there, get onto Google. And the reason I'm saying this is there is actually the rent moratorium, which was introduced I think in 2021, I think, no, 2020. I think. Now that is coming to an end in March. Now that actually can be, without wishing to sound like an accountant, very, very advantageous for you. If you are owed, if you owe money to your landlord for the periods of forced enclosure, they have given, and there is out there, a way of negotiating for arbitration, before arbitration. Now, it's set out by the government. Now, this is why I'm recommending you go and get professional advice on it. If you go to the BII website and look it up, you will find some good advice there. If you can, you can sit down, get involved in that arbitration, and you can force, you can actually force the landlord to talk to you and to reduce that debt. So please don't take anything for granted. Just go and have a look. And for the half an hour, three quarters of an hour you spend doing that, rather than have what we've all had all our lives, the landlord come down with a big stick and start beating you around the place until you give them everything that, that you've ever earned, have a look. There may well be some legal protection there that you hadn't even thought about, but it is before the end of March. I cannot emphasise that strongly.
You need to do it now.
Do not sit down now, rest on your laurels and think, oh well, I'll do it 28th of March. Have a look now and see whether you can get to it.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, I'm afraid we are pretty much out of time. There's probably a million and one things that we haven't dug into, but thank you, Eddie. Thank you for that. Some really useful advice. Cheers. This is the Lock-In Podcast, and we're looking ahead to January, normally a particularly torrid month for the trade. But with the situation around COVID once again spiralling out of control, concern is that we could possibly be facing certainly more restrictions, maybe even another lockdown. So, I mean, let's talk about that. What are you guys feeling? I mean, Heath, you are naturally possibly the most miserable twat I know.
Thank you. I'm not sure miserable's fair.
Mate, honestly, if they're gonna, it's another. Like, if they're gonna lock us down, like, do it now then, because this is painful. We're all losing covers. We've got huge staff costs. We're trying to keep our team employed. Just pull the plug now. Bring furlough back. Give us some grants and say, sorry guys, this is the way it's got to be. But don't let us bleed out and hobble all the way through to January and then get to January and lock us down. Or don't lock us down in January and we hobble all the way through January and we've talked about maybe there's a lift, maybe there's not. But don't let us bleed all the way out to January and get to February. We've all taken on debt. And then, you know, I mean, where are we at? There's no, like, you've saved us. Like, I say saved us, and I say that term loosely, those words loosely, but you've got us this far. Don't turn your back on us now. And if they do... Man, seriously, we've got Rishi, in California right now? I love Ryanair's advert just now saying, you know, come back to help out. We need him back. We need support. And if you're not going to give us support, stop scaring people away from the pubs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even South Africa's going, what are you guys doing? What are you so nervous for?
Is that your South African accent?
Listen to me when I tell you this. This is my significant.
It's almost as bad as your Kiwi accent.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But we need help, and I think if they are going to do, like, we're bleeding. Basically, we've been stabbed in the gut and left down on the ground to bleed out, and we're all crying for help. But the problem is, the public don't really know. They know people aren't going to pubs, but they're more concerned about their own well-being, which is, don't kill grandma this Christmas. I'm going to sit at home on my bed, sip and drink bloody cans of Stella.
So, I mean, the question was, do you think we're going to be locked down?
James thinks yes.
Yeah.
I don't think they can afford to.
Nah.
I don't think they can afford to, and I don't think they can handle the the PR backlash. We know Boris is a populist. He won't want to be unpopular.
Well, I mean, they do say that because of that rebellion, we'd have been facing restrictions probably in that 5 o'clock announcement yesterday.
Yeah.
But because of the rebellion, they've bottled it. And you read, I mean, reading between the lines, some of the things that are being said by ministers, that these measures will see us through to New Year suggests that...
Yeah, January, you're getting it.
That's when you're getting your restrictions.
But by then, they'll have the weight of evidence behind them. And that's where... in terms of infections, if you look at it, they were getting all uptight. If it ever got to 50,000 a day, well, yesterday was 78,000, and it takes 4 weeks to get the full picture. So on the 28th of November was the first Omicron case.
Yeah.
So end of, you know, between Christmas and New Year, all the data will hit, and they'll enforce it. The thing I think is people will say, screw that. We won't have a choice because we were told not to open our doors.
Yeah.
But I think the public's level of willingness to. They've had too much now.
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
think given the behaviour and the immoral behaviour that's been going on, and everyone's done something they shouldn't have done in lockdown. Problem is they're in...
I didn't.
Oh, bullshit. He came to beers with me.
That was for work.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. That research, mate. But yeah. You know what I mean? So I think I'm absolutely convinced we're getting it in January.
You reckon?
Absolutely convinced.
I don't think they can afford to. Listen, don't get me wrong. From an operational and financial point of view, lock us down. Give us some cash.
Yes.
Yeah. We furlough the team. Yeah. No one's drinking. We've already had this conversation. No one's drinking. Pubs are quiet. Lock us down then, but make sure we have the support to keep us locked down. Yeah. You know what I mean? And look, you know, I'd take a hit in January if I can sit home and watch Netflix. Yeah. But I won't because I'd get bored and have to spend time with my family. So I'll be doing takeaways.
You'll be doing everything in your power.
It's
not
so
to
true,
be
though. That is so true. Not the, so, the family bit, but yeah, I think we're looking at it. From we've put, you know, kitchen deep clean, extraction clean for... that sort of second week in Jan on the premise that probably we're going to be, you know, you got them things booked in anyway.
Yeah.
We're going to shut one day for a staff party, cheese and wine effort.
Okay, yeah, excellent, good. Number 10.
You know, yeah, exactly. That sort of thing, you know. So I think people can, and they can also look at getting ready for a lockdown, get all your bills in order, so, because I mean, we did that last time.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because, I mean, ultimately, let's pretend we are going to be locked down. That was the point of this session. Was, you know, what should operators, what should our three listeners be thinking about in preparation for that?
Well, we looked at bills when we locked down first. We looked at all our suppliers, looked at the cost to the business, what we could put on hold, things like, you know, your reservation system you weren't using.
Yeah.
Because then we didn't know how long it would last for, but broadly, I think that sort of housekeeping stuff, plan any maintenance in, look at get your supplies and everything to do the work now.
Yeah.
Because as we know, it's not easy to get this stuff when we, you know, when we need it. So just prepare. So bills, you know, because particularly some of the energy stuff that have changed your direct debits up, so you may be sitting with like big credit on some of those accounts as well. You know what I mean? So draw that back down. We had that with a few of our suppliers.
Yeah, but look, the problem we got at the red is that the electricity bills
have
gone into silly money. So I wouldn't mind a bit of a break. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
I don't know. I think we're like, if we go into another lockdown, Jesus Christ, can the country A, mentally afford it, B, financially afford it?
Well, that's beyond my pay grade in that sense. But I think, what do you do with staff? How do you deal with that?
Well, you have to furlough. But imagine if we don't have furlough.
If you have furlough, what do you do then?
Oh, you're just like, you know,
can't sponsor them, and that's the thing. It's
a dangerous thing, isn't it? Mm. Do you know, it's like, how do you afford that? You know, and then you can't, like, the problem is we all know you can't afford to let them go because you'll never get them back.
Yeah.
They'll all go and work somewhere else. So you do really need to sponsor it. You need to work out of financially paying the wages.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, if there's no furlough and they're shutting us, then we've got a problem. Then we know, like... furlough.
I mean, they've got to at least give furlough. I think you can whistle for your grants. That's not going to come.
Just give us more debt. They'll offer us more cheap debt.
Yeah, so there'll be loans available and there's going to be furlough, surely, because otherwise, I mean, as I think Nick McKenzie was saying last night at the old Parliamentary Beer Group event, if you don't support us now, I mean, you're just completely throwing away all the support you've given.
What was the point of doing the last year and a half or 2 years? Yeah. What was the point?
Yeah,
you just let us burn then, do you know what I mean? Like... But we need direction. We need Rishi.
You started the podcast after that, and you've been horrendously rude about them ever since.
Who?
Maybe they do. The government generally. Maybe. So maybe you've actually.
It's one rule for them.
The
you know what? I wouldn't mind if he led He actually led the country, and he sat at home, and he wasn't renovating his house, and he actually led the team and
having
said,
babies.
You know what I mean? Having another fucking kid. How many kids does this guy need? The guy who wrote the thing about overpopulation and what year was that, 2011? And he's having more kids. What, eight? Yeah. Seriously. And now here we are, and he's talking about this. We need a prime minister who leads this country. If we had Churchill, we had someone like that. Everybody just cries like babies these days. Where's the great, I'm not British, but where is your
really?
Fucking gusto? Where is it? You know what I mean? Like now everyone's just so bloody woke and, oh God, the world's ending. I'm going to stay home and watch fucking Netflix. Where is it? Where's the guts anymore? No one's got guts. They just want to sit on their ass and get furlough and scratch their ass. I'm fucking disappointed. I'm disappointed in this country. I'm disappointed in the Prime Minister. Rishi, I'm disappointed that he's on holiday in California. Like, where is it?
I was waiting for the Hitler reference there for a minute, but it didn't come, so I'm slightly disappointed in that. But it's a fair point. I think Heath was starting to foam at the mouth there, so...
I'm having a seizure.
And James has withdrawn to the other side of the pub, so I think I'm going to leave that one there. You've been listening to the Lock-In podcast with myself, Heath Paul, and James Cuthbert, so sorry about that. It's the end of the episode and the last one of the year as well. As such, it's only fitting that we should end the episode with the exchange of shit and pointless gifts. So good news, guys. Here's your present. So there you go.
I thought your gift was to say you resigned.
Yeah. we've cancelled the podcast. It's off it now. It's not that, I'm afraid. So... So, James?
I've got a book that says People I Want to Punch in the Face. I'm just slightly concerned it's not big enough. But, Ed,
my name's
you to
that.
Write your name on
I didn't write my name in there. You just projected that into it. It's,
this is the best thing anybody's ever given me.
Oh, that is quite good.
So, Heath has got an aubergine emoji for the Christmas tree. So, this is your favourite emoji, isn't it?
It is, honestly, I use it so much on you.
I know.
That's brilliant.
That's like, I can't believe you've actually spent money on us, Ed.
Well, there you go.
£6 according to the ticket on here.
£6? No, £6. Better beef than us. That's gone through expenses. I guarantee that.
I can see them there. I can see Chris Lowe going, what is this aubergine, Edward?
It's certainly not.
Why is it £6?
It's not part of his New Balance diet.
Expensive aubergine.
Good point, I hadn't actually thought of expensing them, but now thanks for that. That's a financial tip that I shall take away from this podcast. So,
and you have three options when he finds out you've done it. Like Eddie was telling us, you can either resign... or just pay for it.
Or just resign. It's probably the best way. So
for everyone.
I've got. So James, you've got some presents.
Oh yes, a present for you, Ed.
Yeah, thank you very much. Oh, okay, fair enough. That's probably quite appropriate. It's a shit joke book.
Where is it?
The little book of
shit jokes.
Okay. Yeah.
Which obviously will improve my standard jokes.
You should give them a part two, shit dad jokes.
Yeah, that's true. We can. Well, Savage's birthday.
And you got Heath something as well, didn't you?
I got Heath something, yes.
Yeah. A knife.
So
and the best bit is that I wanted so much to give it to him in an evidence bag. I'm sure it'll come down to that at some point.
So just point out that you got me a shit joke book and you got Heath a really expensive, lovely knife.
Mm-hmm. But that won't get you in jail, that book.
I'm a bit of kisser.
This is true.
I'm a bit of Well, that's true.
I knew there was something I was getting wrong there. Well, so. We've also got a Christmas beer to try as well. So this is a meantime Christmas beer called Stolen Hours.
Stolen Hours.
Keith already opened it, predictably, so you can't hear the pop in the hiss.
Thanks for the present, Ed. I'm just Googling re-gifting.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't torn the paper.
I'm going to treasure mine forever. This is amazing.
It's I saw it and thought you, Heath. That's
fairness, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good for Ed. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
There we go.
So present sorted.
Stolen Hour. This is a 8% Stolen inspired strong beer. What do we think? Heath, drink your beer. Stop playing with your aubergine.
Oh, sorry.
That's not a euphemism. What do we think? It's fruity.
Fucking hell.
Maybe
they'll put that on the can.
Yeah. It tastes like when you're outside having shisha. It tastes like smoking a shisha pipe.
yeah, I'm not sure I could drink a whole one of those.
No.
So last one of the year, let's have a think. What do we want to see in the new year? What's going to be your wishes? Let's wrap up with that. What would your new year wish be?
Lockdown. No, whoa, not done. I'm not done. With a multi-million pound payout, no interest bearing, and some decent stuff on Netflix that we've not seen.
Okay, you're dreaming.
How's that?
Okay.
Well, you don't think I'll get the Netflix bit?
I don't think you'll get any of that.
So,
I tell you what, VAT, 12.5%, ongoing, no end on that, like for hospitality and for all of us and tourism and all that. 12.5%, guaranteed, there's no end date on that. And then, maybe some like business rates reform.
Yeah, it's got to be that.
Yeah, it's got to be stuff like that. But, you know,
get back to the knitting rather than just COVID distractions.
Yeah, well, do you know what I mean? Like, we're great in our industry, like you've said a million times. They're just yelling at each other. But, you know, and talking and on Twitter and all that and all that. No one cares. Our customers don't care. They just want to have a good time. So we need to make sure that we're in a good place so they can have a good time without us bitching.
That's a lovely way to finish.
I was just hoping for an invite to Boris's next party, but...
Do you really want to go?
No.
Do you imagine? Chance.
I've heard the cheese and wine's good, though.
I don't think it would be.
No.
Do you think he knows anything about wine?
By my standards.
I doubt it.
I mean, I know nothing, so... Anyway, let's leave that one there. That is it from us for this episode and this year. We'd like to wish you all the best possible Christmas you can make of it, and hopefully a better 2022. We'll be back in the new year for more podcast fun and frolics. But for now, goodbye.